We are on with Mike Overend, a local retired vet who is also very active in many issues relating to our environment. And Mike has been kind of the local expert talking about something called e-waste, and that is both a problem and an opportunity, particularly in our region. So, Mike, thank you so much for being with us here on KTWH this morning. Let's first start with a definition, like for the uninitiated. What is e-waste?
Valuable set of resources, electronic waste, discarded electronic gear that we were throwing out. The state of Minnesota acted to try to make use of this electronic waste, and they made a law in 2007 that said we can recycle electronic waste. There are a wide variety of metals that are all of important value to our society, and I can go through a list, but basically in 2007, before smartphones were even put on the market, we had TVs that were the big fatback cathode ray tube TVs. Mm-hmm. Same thing for our computer screens. And so those cathode ray tube or CRT screens are an example of the type of electronics they said we could recycle. They did not include the current flat screen TVs that we have. They did not include the current smartphones that we have. And there's a wide variety of electronics that have been introduced since 2007 that don't qualify for coverage in the current Minnesota state recycling scheme. So currently we're only recycling about 23.7% of our total electronic waste in Minnesota. And that leaves 76.3% that is not recycled. And the problem with that is that many of our devices now contain batteries, and most of the batteries that are used in electronics are lithium-based batteries. Just look at your cell phone, look at your laptop, but they also are in things like earbuds. They're in almost anything that is not physically plugged into the wall to power it. Mm-hmm. And so the problem with this battery problem is that they are great at storing high amounts of energy for periods of time for us to use on our electronics, but that high density of energy that they store also makes them easily become a source of a fire if they're damaged, crushed, punctured, things like that. And they blow up essentially like you see when you strike a highway flare and it just starts spitting out fire.
Mm-hmm.
Happens with these batteries. So what's been found is that our solid waste stream, which means the stuff you put in your garbage that gets picked up by the garbage truck and hauled off to another place called a waste transfer site where it is sorted, and then much of it is taken off to a permanent place, which is called a landfill, a dump. Many of these electronics are currently being inappropriately put into garbage trucks, waste station, transfer stations, and landfills. And every time they get handled, these batteries can be accidentally crushed. And when that happens, they can start fires. So right now, about 3% of that pathway for handling garbage is actually being burned up in the United States.
Wow. In the landfill?
Yes. And so the cost to ensure those losses is skyrocketing. The people that are responsible for handling our garbage are getting crushed under the expenses involved just with trying to keep up with these insurance losses. And so if you had any other industry that was losing 3% of its infrastructure every year, it would make big news. So that's one major problem that we see right now with the way electronic waste is handled, is that currently if you have an electronic item, TV, printer, computer, laptop, whatever, some of these things are covered by the current law and they will be recycled appropriately if you take them to an appropriate center to do it. But many of them are not covered by the current law. And what that means is that somebody has to pay to recycle them. I think televisions right now are covered. It's included in the purchase price when you buy a television, but most of the other goods that we currently use and discard are not. And so when you go to take an item to a landfill place, what happens is that many times they'll say, well, yes, we can recycle this for you, but there's a cost, and there's a cost per item. So it might be $15 recycle something like a smoke detector from your home. And some people are willing to pay that, but many other people are saying, I don't want to pay that. So they'll pitch it into the garbage and start the whole fire process, or they may just throw it out into some place out in the country where they don't have to see it, but somebody else has to. The other problem associated with this process is that these electronics are full of metals, and many of them are considered heavy metals, which are toxic to people. Think of lead. Lead is a very toxic material that can harm people of all ages, but it's especially toxic to children and infants with growing brains. And so we know that a large amount of the toxic material that enters our landfills right now is due to electronic waste.
Yeah.
And the problem is that if it is involved in a fire, many of those toxic materials go up into the air in smoke and go downwind to affect communities nearby. They can also, when they try to put the fires out with water, it can wash down through the landfill, get into our water resources, our aquifers, and affect our groundwater sources, and certainly it can affect the land itself. So there are major costs right now that we are all paying that we're not aware of, involved with either trying to pay for recycling in a responsible way out of our own pocket when we bring discarded electronics to a recycling center, and even more so, we're paying a major cost through our county and state activities to try to deal with the fires and the pollution associated with those fires. So this is a costly issue right now.
Yeah. And now, Mike, let me interrupt you just for one second to say thank you for sort of outlining why this is an issue. And I think I'm sure another point is that you could also use these materials, or there's got to be ways to be able to reuse and recycle materials rather than continue to pull them out of the ground, or as well as in some cases. Can you begin to tell us about some solutions coming down the pike here?
Perfect question. Thank you. So all of this material that Minnesotans are generating every single year, and it's increasing in amounts every year as well, is valuable. And right now, the metals that are present in our electronics are valued at $3.2 billion with a B, $3.2 billion. That's a lot of money. And much of that is unfortunately ending up, as I said, in our landfills. So this could be harvested, and it can contribute dramatically to the needs that we have for the critical metals that we need to power our new clean energy economy. And just as an example, the amount of copper alone, if we recycled all of the copper that comes from our electronic waste, it would provide enough copper to build 155,000 electric vehicles every year. And there are many, many critical metals that are found in our electronic waste. In addition, besides being a source of these important critical metals, we don't have to dig any holes in the ground to do this. This is stuff that's in our kitchen drawers, it's in our closets, it's in our sheds. There's no environmental damage to access this. It's strictly a win because it prevents environmental damage from fires and pollution. And lastly, the jobs that can be generated by dealing with this boiled down to a projected 1,700 new jobs for Minnesotans. And many of these can be located in northern Minnesota. This is a good thing for us. So it won't completely take away the need for new metals in our economy, but it is an important source, a major source of new metals that can happen right away, not in the time it takes to build new mines, without any environmental damage, and it's a win-win-win.
So, Mike, tell us, what are the steps happening right now to bring this about, and what are the barriers?
Sure. So, a very intrepid young woman named Maria Jensen, who has a master's in public health, studied the effects of toxic metals for her master's degree. She went on to work with an organization in St. Paul that does electronics recycling. From there, she saw the need to make this happen on a statewide level. And she's been really on a somewhat of a personal mission to make this happen in Minnesota. I really admire this young woman very much. She got together with people from the Iron Range that have an organization called the Iron Range Partnership for Sustainability. And they did a study along with a professor from McAllister, Dr. Rupali, and they came up with all of the information that I just shared with you and much more. And based on that study, they said, we need to introduce a bill in the state legislature that updates the old 2007 bill we're working with right now and makes it possible for us to recycle 100% of our electronic waste. So basically, it just says, if it plugs into the wall or if it gets charged up by plugging into a wall, we consider it electronics. And if it's discarded, we need a way to handle that correctly so that we can get the value out of that. In order to do that, they went to the idea that to be responsible for this, if we put a small fee up front at the time of purchase, when we buy a printer, when we buy a laptop or a cell phone, whatever, if there's a small fee that's attached to that at that time of purchase, that fee can pay for all of the moving parts to make this collection of discarded electronics and the recycling process go forward. And so what we're asking our state legislators to do is to pass this in the form of a law, and it is a law called the 100% Electronic Waste Collection and Recycling Bill. It has strong support in both the House and the Senate. It was co-authored by one of our local state senators, Senator Grant Housechild. And it currently is in the middle of the legislative process, which I'm not an expert on, but I know that it initially is heard both in the Senate and the House by a committee that's focused on environmental issues. And this bill has passed in both of those committees. Then it has to move on to two other committees in both the House and the Senate. And those committees are the Commerce Committee, which obviously has to deal with regulating our commerce in Minnesota. And then I believe there's a Finance Committee hearing that has to approve this as well. This bill is moving forward through the House well, but it's kind of hung up in the Senate right now. And we need the people that are in charge of allowing this bill to be heard in committee so it can be considered by a group of people that understand the issues around it. We need this bill to be heard in the Commerce Committee for the Senate so that it can be considered and hopefully passed through that committee to the last committee that will hear it. And then finally, once it gets through three committees in both the House and the Senate, then there is a final process where the House and Senate people get together, iron out the differences that they have between their versions of the bill, and then it gets voted on and hopefully passed and sent to the governor to be signed into law. Not a simple process, is it?
It is not. Mike, do you know, I'm sure the hope is that it will pass this legislative session. Is there a phone call that listeners could make right now that would make a difference?
What I will share with you is the gatekeepers to the Senate Commerce Committee are senators from Mankato and from Robbinsdale. And from Mankato, that is Senator Nick Frentz, F-R-E-N-T-Z. And from Robbinsdale, it is Senator Ann Rest. And we have been encouraging people to reach out to our own legislators. And there's an easy way to find that information online. But the way to contact Senator Frentz and Senator Rest is on the Minnesota State Legislature website, and they have an email address. And we're just encouraging people to say, please allow this bill to be heard. And it's quite interesting because the deadline for them to make decisions on this process, I believe, is today. So if people want to help, this is the day right now to pick up the phone or send an email And the name of this bill, as I said, is the 100% Electronic Waste Collection and Recycling Bill. It has numbers that denote what it is in the House. It is House File 3566. 3566. And in the Senate File 3940. 3940. That's the one we're most concerned about.
Thank you, Mike. This is very interesting. If we had time, I would ask you about objections to the bill. I don't know if you have, if you can just lay out in just 1 minute, like what are the current objections?
So I think that what's happening is that major electronic producers, think of Apple that makes the iPhone, think of major electronics manufacturers, are saying, we don't want to add any price onto our items that might discourage people from buying our goods. And even though it will be a very mild price increase, I'm going to say probably in the 2 to 3% range, so maybe $2 or $3 on a $100 item, they're reluctant to let that happen.
Okay.
And so right now, I'll finish by saying there are high costs if we don't act now, because without updating this, we are getting lots of fires and lots of pollution, and it only builds year by year. And there are really good, important benefits to passing this bill, because it will stop the fires, it will stop the pollution, it will harvest $3.2 billion in critical metals important for our economy, offers 1,700 new direct jobs. It holds manufacturers responsible for their fair share of costs, not undue share, but the fair share of recycling e-waste. It can be completely self-funded without any cost to the state, and it creates major savings for taxpayers, and it has strong bipartisan support. So thank you for letting me share that.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm speaking with Mike Overend. He is a local person speaking with us about an e-waste bill working its way through the legislature right now. Thanks so much, Mike, and we will have you again on a related topic sometime, I'm sure.
Great.
You take care.
Thank you. Thank you. Gotcha. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Once again, that was Mike Overend speaking with us